Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 24th of November, recording at 6:58 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, let's have a quick look here at what's a very quiet day due to the Thanksgiving Day holiday in the United States. But Asia did not overreact to the biggish sell-off on Wall Street yesterday. And was mixed, with the China indices a little bit firmer, but quiet generally. And the European stock market seesawed a little bit, ended mostly with small declines, very small declines. Again, another quiet day. In the Americas, we have Brazil up, Mexico, and Canada down a wee bit as I speak. Wall Street, of course, closed. Some of the futures markets were open. Precious metals, again, quiet activities you'd expect, but gold is up $2 as I speak at $16.94 and change. The prices of crude oil are slightly higher, $97 for WTI. The US dollar index is a fraction steadier. The resources currencies seem to be a little bit firmer. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, it's the same story, really. Investors have been in a high state of anxiety over developments that are taking place in Europe, partly because we haven't been through this before, and partly because it looks chaotic. I've talked about those 17 countries that are involved, all the political lobbying, the games of chicken. It's akin to herding cats. And so investors view this as a no certainty type of situation. I kind of disagree and maintain that the big decisions are political. The euro is really a political construct. And if the European nations wish to stick with the euro, and they have made it very, very clear that they do, then we will see a steady progression towards shoring up the euro that will involve the sorts of things that we've been talking about for months and months and months, and as of a number of other people, the steady march towards fiscal union. Now, that's happening, and a number of Euroskeptics, I think, are impressed with the way the arguments are basically going Germany's way. They are going Germany's way because, first, I think Germany has the, I won't say moral high ground, it has the fiscal high ground in this debate. And clearly, Europe needs to reduce its debt and deficits. And clearly, we need to see rollbacks in the welfare state. And while a number of eminent economists are bringing out reports saying that the ECB is never going to go in for quantitative easing, I disagree and make the point again for political reasons. Well, let's put it this way. Let's take a step backwards. If we want an Austrian solution, that should have been 10, 12 years ago. And I would have certainly favored that. It would have made a good deal of sense, but we didn't get that. If we want an Austrian solution today, then there's no way the euro is going to survive, because countries are not going to, well, it's not going to be able to survive on austerity measures alone. Now, again, since the heads of state and most corporate leaders do want to maintain the euro, then they're going to have a combination of austerity and also monetary easing. Now, we haven't come to that point where that's been acknowledged by either the ECB or Germany, and that's understandable. First, they want to see the austerity measures on the table. And they want to see them more than on the table. They want to see them being enacted upon. But things are moving quickly in the right direction overall. And I think people have been discounting a worst-case scenario here, and that's created some very attractive values. If just going to run through dividends, which I'll be posting, yields rather, on the major indices, which I'll be posting shortly, and many of the Western European indices have extremely attractive dividend yields, as do some of the Eastern European indices, as do some of the Asian stock market indices. So values aren't all that bad. Monetary policy remains accommodative, basically, in the West. And we see Asia edging away from its tightening stance. Now, I can think of a lot of worse environments than the one that we're in here right now. And investors do worry about worst-case scenarios because they get a lot of publicity, don't they? You've certainly seen that before. But the time to back the worst-case scenario is when stock markets are running riot on the upside and you're clearly overextended and the market's euphoric. And that's when we really want to be realizing wealth in up markets. Conversely, when people are feeling terrified or panicking, that's the time to be creating wealth by moving in and nibbling at things that look attractive to us on both a technical and a fundamental basis. And this is an environment for looking at buying opportunities. On a short-term basis, we have a lot of oversold conditions because this has been a weak month, retracing a lot of the October gains and more with some of the weaker sectors, such as a number of those European indices, particularly the periphery country indices. So, in terms of technical criteria here, what we need to see to shore up these indices by one, reaffirming the September and October lows where these have not been broken, and the major indices have not broken those lows. But what we need to see clearly when we're getting declines on a daily basis is a clear upward dynamic to trigger the next round of short covering and entice a little bit more bargain hunting into the picture. And the markets that have broken down beneath their September and October lows, we also need to see some upward dynamics there to indicate downside failures. Now, that hasn't happened yet, and that's what we need to see to prevent what are relatively inexpensive markets from becoming even a bit more inexpensive over the near term. Bond markets are going to take their cue, I think, from what's happening in stock markets. But we've had some interesting developments. We've had a weakening in the Bund market, which reflected that disappointing sale yesterday, but the market had been starting to weaken before that. We had an upside failure in the JGB futures, where yields are not at historic lows, but they're mighty low. 1% on a 10-year bond. Now, looking at commodity markets, we've got a number of overstretched trends to the downside. This is partly contagion from the weak stock markets and fears about global GDP growth. But it also reflects, I believe, a washout in response to the MF Global situation. It's caused by a lack of trust, closing down of a certain number of positions, that's created a number of oversold conditions. So don't be surprised if within the next 2 to 3 weeks we see, if not sooner, if we see the workings of some good rallies. But that will require, as they say, clear upward dynamics. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.